You know, sometimes God just puts something on our hearts, Trey. And that's okay. And that's okay. God kind of put something on my heart this week. I usually, this is a little bit different for me. But I just felt like God wanted me to share something with you this morning. And it's in the book of 1 Samuel. And as I was reading along, this just kind of hit me. Some things that's been going on in my life, some things that I see. This just kind of come to me. So I started looking and studying the Scripture. And I think it's good that we do that sometimes. You know, and I love to hear good preaching, don't you? But sometimes I just need to sit back and study and read and hear from God, which is most important, isn't it? So I hope that what I share with you today, it touches your heart. In chapter 4 of 1 Samuel, if you have your Bibles with you, I didn't have Verna or anybody put it up on the screen, but if you have your Bibles this morning, or your phone apps, or whatever you got, if you'll follow along with me in chapter 4 of 1 Samuel. It says, Now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistines. The Israelites camped on Ebenezer and the Philistines at Aphek. The Philistines deployed their forces to meet Israel, and as the battle spread, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 of them on the battlefield. And when the soldiers returned to camp, the elders of Israel asked, "Why did the Lord bring defeat on us today before the Philistines?" We'll stop right there for a minute. I know that in my life, I've experienced defeat in my life. And sometimes I've wondered and I've asked myself, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? And I know life can beat us up. Life can get us down. And you know, I share my experience at when my life seemed to be going okay, and then within 10 days of my life being okay and healthy and all this, I find myself in a hospital bed with the nurses and doctors saying, "We don't know if he's going to make it." And I'm laying there thinking, "Lord, you just called me to preach. I just started my ministry, and here I lay here. How can this be? How can I preach your word? How can I live my life like you want me to, laying here in a hospital bed?" I felt pretty defeated at that point. I know many of you, I know many of us are going through some things. I met with Larry Barnhart yesterday. And let me tell you, he's pretty defeated right now. Laying there in a hospital bed. He can't get out of bed on his own. And I could just feel defeat. I know there's many that have experienced this. I know Israel, they didn't know what to think. They're like, "Man, God's always been with us. God's always been there for me. And now 4,000 of us have been killed." And so here's what they did. They said, "Let us bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant from Shiloh so that He may go with us and save us from the hand of our enemies." One thing that they had forgotten was to take God with them. And that's what I had to be reminded of when I was laying there in the hospital bed. Because I needed God to be there with me, and I needed to make sure He was with me, right? And when I realized that, whenever I said, "Okay, God, I need You here with me because I can't handle this on my own," everything was made right. Peace came over my heart, and it didn't matter then. because God was with me. Now, in this story, we're going to find out that that was really not the case with them, because they had forgotten about God. They were living life without God, and they even got to where they were questioning why in the world. Well, let me tell you why. Is because Eli, the priest, had two sons that became very wicked in the story. And they didn't care about God. They were taking advantage of people, and they were sleeping around with ladies. I mean, it's a messed up story. These are priests. Sons, they were helping out in the synagogue, and they fell into this sinful way, and they had just let God fall by the wayside. So they went and got the ark, and they thought, well, this will fix everything. We'll just go get the ark, because God's always taking care of us. And then they got defeated again. It says so there in verse 10. It says, so the Philistines fought and the Israelites were defeated, and every man fled to his tent. The slaughter was very great. Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. And the ark of God was captured, and Eli's two sons were killed. Now, if you've ever read the story, how it starts out in 1 Samuel, it starts out with a beautiful story about Hannah. And how Hannah wanted to have kids. She was married, and she had there was two wives in the picture there, and one of them had kids, and Hannah wasn't able to have kids, and she really grieved about it, and they made fun of her because she couldn't have kids. It's a beautiful story. And then she cried out to God, and Eli heard her, and she was blessed, and then she had a little boy named Samuel, because she promised. She said, I'll give Samuel. I'll let my son live at the temple and serve God, right? That's really how it starts out. But this little boy, he kind of grows up, and God starts blessing him. And so he tells them, he said, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen to you. If it was promised, if your sons have sinned and done all this stuff here, and this is what's going to happen. And that's the story. You need to read it. It says the Lord was with Samuel when he grew up. A little story about me in defeat. If you hadn't heard about me a little bit when I was younger, I was a little cocky, you know. I thought I could just about do whatever I wanted to do. And I remember me and my two buddies, and I think they were more cocky than I was. We decided that we were going to be bull riders, okay? We were going to ride rodeo, and so that's what we started doing. We started training and practicing, and man, we were just going to win it all, you know? And there was a guy by the name of Lane Frost. He was our hero. He was one of the best riders in professional bull riding. And man, we wanted to be just like him. And so, man, we were working hard at being the best. And I remember our first rodeo that we drove all the way to Pena. Man, we were just psyched out, man. We were just going to just win it all. I remember there was this bull that I happened to draw, and his name was Elvis. And everybody's like, oh man, you got the easy bull to ride. And that even made me feel better. I thought, man, I'm going to win this thing because I got the best bull to pick. And I was young and new into this, and so it looked like things were going to go real well. And so I got ready, you know, and I'm in the chute, and I get all cinched up, you know, and so I'm like, okay, I'm ready. And they flew the gate open, you know, and old Elvis just beat the tar out of me. I bet I wasn't on 3 seconds. Most embarrassing moment of my life. My buddies all standing up there laughing at me, you know. I don't think I said a word to them for... I mean, we drove home and I was... I think sometimes we experience things like that in life, and God has to bring us down to our knees. Bring us down to the real world. I'm just talking openly to... You notice I don't have my computer up here and all my notes. So if I get off in the bushes, forgive me. I just felt like God wanted me to talk to you this morning. You know, I remember back a few years ago, back when Art, this funeral reminded me of Art Langston, and, you know, and how Art was such a, he just really, me and him just got along. He was a good guy. And I remembered how he went down to the little church down there at Mount Pisgah, at Weetog, and he wanted to see that church. He just loved that little church down there, and he spent a lot of money down there fixing that church up and making it, and he just wanted so much to have church service down there. He just wanted to see that church alive again. And so me and Brian, we decided, we'll just have a revival down there. And so we went down and we spent a couple nights or 3 nights down there, and just the smile on Art's face, and we just really enjoyed doing that little revival down there. It's a beautiful little church. I remember that I think Sarah and Pat was even married in that church down there. I remember. Yeah, and I sang at their wedding. That's right. That's right. Amen. Yeah. He... Yeah. I think when I was down there at the funeral this couple weeks ago, when I drove up the hill and saw the church, it broke my heart. Because those memories of Art and all the work that he'd put in it, and now you see the soffits are rotten off of it. Fascia, you know, the windows are kind of knocked out of it, and it just sits there in disrepair. And it's sad to see that. And I know you can drive all over Southern Illinois here and you can see little churches. Some of them are kind of, well, upkept a little bit, but they're all empty. They're all empty. I want to read something to you. Even, I see these churches, and some of them's got Cornthal Church, and some of them, you know, it's got names over the door. And, but I want to read something out of 1 Samuel, and this is really what I'm getting to. Something that just really hit me this week. Chapter 4, verse 18, it says, when he mentioned the ark of God, Eli fell backward off his chair by the side of the gate. His neck was broken and he died, for he was an old man and he was heavy. He had led Israel 40 years. His daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant and near the time of delivery. And when she heard the news that the ark of God had been captured, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she went into labor and gave birth, but was overcome by her labor pains. As she was dying, the woman attended her side said this, Don't despair, you have given birth to a son. But she did not respond or pay attention. She named the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel." Because of the capture of the ark of God and the deaths of her father-in-law and her husband, she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured." And when I think about these little churches sitting all around, I don't see Corinthal Church, or I don't see, you know, Mount Pisgah. In my mind, my vision, I see Ichabod over the top of the door. Because where once the glory of God was shared among the believers, now the glory of God has departed. And it lays in waste. And I could ask you this morning, I know that we can experience that too in our lives, just like the people of Israel did. And after this, it was about 20 years before they ever saw the glory of God ever come back, until Saul became king, and the ark was brought back. Israel did that quite often, and I know that we can do that as well, but I'm concerned about churches today, because I get to see all the numbers from all the churches. And I hope that the glory of God is not departing in your life, not departing in our life. I share this with you this morning because I love the church. So this morning, as we take communion, it's a very serious time when we take communion. Sometimes I think we go through the motions of it because it's just like something we do. See, I think that's what Israel did. They just got used to going through the motions of things. They got used to going through the motions of just going to church. They got used to just going through the motions of teaching Sunday school, or going through the motions of holding a position. And they just got used to going through the motions. And eventually, after time, the glory, the position, or the that became more important than the glory of God. Many times in the Scripture we see that. Just in the New Testament, we see Paul talking about that with another church. He said, when you guys come to the Lord's Supper, all you do is you sit around and you eat and you laugh and you drink and you get drunk and you do all kinds of things, and it's like you don't even care what's going on. My relationship with Christ is important. My relationship with God is important. And I pray that the glory of God never depart from me. So again, as we share today, this morning, let us pray together that the glory of God does not depart from me.